Hello, gay men. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I'm your host, Brian James. And today, Mark is back with me. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
Great to have you on the show. And I'm so excited to have you back.
Yeah, same here. It's a lot of fun and always great to get to spend some time with you.
Yes. Let's see that shirt, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you know, listen, lots to, move this out of the way for a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about several of those things today, but.
And if anybody want not to, I'm not a paid spokesperson, Gay Pride Apparel. They've got an awesome collection of all different kinds of shirts and merchandise and.
Okay.
Speak your
prayer. Very nice. I like that. One of the things I wanted to kick this off with, I was reading the other day and I came across a quote. I think based on our last episode together, having a front row seat to the alignment of your life's passion is beautiful and inspiring. I finally have a front row seat to my life.
Yeah,
I lived 50 years in the back row and, and outside of the actual auditorium. And today I have a front row seat to the alignment of my life's passions. And that feels amazing to me.
I love that.
I know you and I are going to touch on some political issues today. What I wanted to make the focus of all of this is that the podcast is promoting love and acceptance. There's a lot of hate and diversity out there. You know, there's just so much happening, not just in the United States, but in the world. And really, in everything that's happening, there's still a way to find love and acceptance in what is happening. And not look for the diversity in what's happening. Although it's hard, but...
You mean the division in what's happening?
The division. I'm sorry. Yes. The division in what's happening. Yes. The division in what's happening, not the diversity. But let's keep it light for a couple minutes. I sent you some show notes. There is a new television show coming out, Mid-Century Modern.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
And it's an LGBTQ plus... TV show. I think it's supposed to be like it wasn't Designing Women, but what was the other one?
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls. Supposed to be like
Golden Girls reboot, but with three gay guys. Right? Is the premise?
Yes. I see all the merchandising for the Golden Girls, and I've never watched the Golden Girls before,
oh
so I don't really understand all the hype with that. All right,
You got to go back and watch it. It is, you know, I remember when Golden Girls was on and I was like, all right, you know, whatever. I see it through a whole different lens now. It's just a phenomenal show.
Really? All right.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All of them are just gems.
Okay. Yeah. And then in this Mid-Century Modern, Alice from the diner or TV show, whatever that woman's...
Linda Lavin.
Yes, who recently passed away.
Passed away, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
So she's going to be starring in that show. Go ahead.
And also Nathan Lane and Matt Bomer are in that show.
Yes.
And I mean...
All right.
You've got some heavy hitters in it.
Yeah. I think it comes out late... March.
Yeah.
Something I have been watching. I don't know if you've been watching it or not. White Lotus.
I love White Lotus.
Me too.
Oh, I love White Lotus. Although, I'm still a little bit behind on season three. I've got one or two episodes I haven't seen yet. I think it's great, but I do have to say, I miss Jennifer Coolidge.
Me too. Yes.
In this season.
I do too.
Yeah.
I went online as soon as season three started and I looked up Jason Isaac.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know anything about him, but he's age appropriate. He's a good looking guy. So yeah, I'm enjoying him on the show.
Yeah. And also, you know, one of the stars in this season is Patrick Schwarzenegger, is Arnold Schwarzenegger's
yes.
son.
Yes. I did not know that that was him. Somebody else pointed that out.
And there's, you know, a few nice shots in that as well.
Yes,
you know,
that's true.
Seeing some nice eye candy.
Yes. He's young though. Is he in his early 30s at least?
I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm in my 50s. I prefer a man similar in age.
Well, you can still look.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look at, yes. So, all right. Let's, something that I wanted to bring up, which I struggle with, and I had talked about this in prior episodes in season one, and I know a couple of gay men that are part of the Log Cabin Republicans. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Log Cabin Republicans?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I have to say, I don't know a lot about them. My understanding is they're Republican group, but standing up for LGBTQ rights and advocacy.
They were formed, I think, in 1977, and it was for LGBT rights at the time. So these are a group of Republican men that are supposedly supporting the LGBTQ community. And I see how that could have played out in years past. I have a hard time understanding it. Today, I have a hard time understanding how, in the current climate of where the Republican Party is at, how there is room for that, because it feels like there is no support for the LGBTQ plus community.
I imagine it's got to be really, really difficult. If you start to dissect, you know, politics, I think it's become so divisive. I mean, these days, as we know. And I mean, look, I'll put it out there. I'm pretty liberal in how I believe and how I view the world. But I can imagine, look, you know, if you are born and raised in a Republican way, or you've got, I think, you know, there's a lot of Republicans that fiscally, financially, may be more conservative, and so therefore have associated themselves with the Republican Party. But okay, maybe you're gay. And so the Log Cabin Republicans, I would imagine, right, in the day, fit that mold.
Yes.
Okay. It's got to be more and more difficult. And I even sense, again, I'm not an expert in it, but I don't know how active that whole group still is. I saw recently that they were trying to hold an event, I think in Palm Springs or the Palm Springs chapter, and they picked up the term that J.D. Vance had used about normal gays, and had tremendous backlash, where the venue they were going to hold it at even kind of said, no, we don't want that here.
That's where I saw it also. And it's interesting because Palm Springs is such a huge community of gay people.
Yeah.
And I saw that post as well, where they were going to host an event. But even in the description of it, it seemed a little harsh. And I don't know, just seemed like a little bit of hate in the description of how they were gathering. So I don't know.
Hate towards
just in general. I'd have to pull it up and look at it again. But it was like normal.
Well,
whatever.
Like, well, it was the keywords that they
had used to describe it.
I think, again, kind of picking up on that whole theme of the anti-wokeness, right? You know, if you're gay, it's trying to force that there's this stereotype and, oh, we'll just be the normal the normal gaze, whatever that means.
Yeah, and exactly what does that mean? Yeah, so I understand, the same as you, I understand Republicans and fiscally how they're more conservative. That's how I grew up. That's what I grew up knowing, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. When all of this hate came into play and when all this targeting came into play is when I had started having such a hard time with that. I was like, wow, wait a second. So there was, I wrote it down here, and gosh, hopefully I can find it without scrambling too much, but the disrespect of Sarah McBride. I don't know if you watched that CNN clip. They played it so many times where she was referred to as Mr. and Mr. Mm-hmm. And it was very purposeful in the way that they were addressing her. And it was like, wait a second. It's like, and then her, she gave an interview after that, and I printed it out and I shared it with you. And she said, I appear to live rent-free in the minds of some of my Republican colleagues. I wish they would spend even a fraction of the time that they spend thinking about me, thinking about how to lower the cost for American families. I wish they would spend a fraction of the time that they've spent thinking about me, figuring out how to make a government actually work better rather than make it work worse in order to prove that government can't work. That summed up so much of where we're at right now for me.
Absolutely. And you know, and I know when you printed that out, and I did see that clip, and I saw both of those, you know, clips. And I loved when that committee meeting, when the chair of the committee, I'm forgetting who it was, a Republican congressperson, introduced her as Mr. McBride.
Yes.
And the Democratic ranking committee member stopped him and said, you know, excuse me, could you introduce this duly elected congressperson properly? And ultimately he shut the hearing down because he wouldn't give in to actually introducing the congressperson as she would like to be referenced.
Yes.
But the rest of her quote that she talked about here is, I love this part, the Republican Party is obsessed with culture war issues.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's, they are choosing to fight these culture wars when you've got duly elected people like Sarah McBride that are just trying to do their jobs. Yes. And it's a distraction from real governing.
I 100% agree.
And solving the issues that we all need to face, right? I mean, it's not to say that there aren't real issues that need to be solved in the economy, in foreign affairs, you know, what have you. But it's all a distraction. Yeah, to what end?
I totally agree. What end? And it's such a hurtful distraction, though, at the exact same time. And I think that's where there's such a disconnect, is that we're allowing this hatefulness to seep in and saturate and divide us to an extent to which we've never been before. It's like, I mean, almost daily I'm seeing where people are posting, I had to let go of a friend, I had to say goodbye to friends today, I had to, and it's severing relationships, it's severing, I don't know, it just, and it, families, I know that it's tearing families apart in this process as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I had actually somebody I used to work with, in fact, somebody who used to work for me, I've known this person for, oh my gosh, 25 years. And I had to un-network, unconnect from them on LinkedIn of all places because of posts this person was making that were just so hateful. And I sent him a note saying, hey, you know, we've known each other a long time, but I am disassociating myself from you. And the vitriol that he wrote back to me was absolutely horrendous. And
wow. Were you surprised by that?
Based on what I had seen him posting, honestly, no.
But prior to all of, prior to
a little bit. I mean, I always knew 2024. Again, I always knew he was, you know, conservative and things like that. You know, we never really got into political, you know, discussions. But it's just the amping up and using the Bible. And hiding and you know, I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anybody, but, you know, hiding behind Christianity. And my comment to him was, you know, you claim yourself to be a strong Christian, yet all you're doing is showing hatred for those that are different than you.
Yeah.
How is that Christian?
Yes. And when did religion seep into politics and government to the extent that it is today also?
Yeah.
I find it interesting because I was reading an article that for as much hate, in my opinion, that's being thrown at the LGBTQ community, he's appointed some pretty high up people that are members of the LGBTQ plus community. I gave you a printout. I think that he has like 7 or 8 members of his cabinet that are gay. That guy, Jacob Hellberg, I read a little bit about him because I'm in real estate and I saw that he's selling his $65 million Florida mansion because he's heading off to Washington. And I was like, wow, he has a husband. He's highly successful and he's married to a man. And in this climate and the attack on everything that's happening to our community today, he's a member, he's a supporter of Donald Trump. And I just think to myself, wow, I can't figure out the connection when there's so much hatred.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's part of the MO, right? So he can point around, look and say, look at all these great gay people that I've appointed. Right. And so it's, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's throwing, you know, crumbs at it to say, you know, yep. See, I really am a supporter, but then the actions of what happens, and he is a master at being able to do those kinds of things, and then putting himself in a position that he can deny any connection with it. I mean, look, he did it with Project 2025. He got out there and said, "I don't know anything about Project 2025." Yes. He did it, however many years ago in 2020. Denied that he, after January 6th, that he even knew who the Proud Boys were. I mean, come on, you know, because he'll distance himself from it so that he's got state legislatures that are trying to clear the way, petitioning the Supreme Court to say that the Supreme Court should take up overturning gay marriage. So he'll shield himself. Right. By saying, oh, but look, I appointed all these people into my cabinet.
What I don't understand. Well, there's so much I don't understand, but there's so much focus on our community and there's no focus on food prices, gasoline prices, the cost of living, housing.
It's
unemployment rates. It's like everything going on. For a person who was so vocal about we are not experiencing global warming, his fight against electric vehicles, and now his used car salesman, almost like pitch mentality on the White House lawn with Tesla and everything going on with that. The focus is in such the wrong place as far as where we're at and what we're needing.
It's intentional deflection. It's intentional deflection because going back to Sarah McBride's quote, right? It's about the culture wars. Keep the focus on those culture wars that get people fired up. you know, and you talk about the LGBTQ community, it's largely right now focused on the trans community.
Yes.
And focusing on these things like, you know, men playing women's sports, when the reality is the number is so minuscule.
I think there's 10. I think there's, yeah, so I think right. I read that there's like 10
well, I
pro athletes.
Yeah, I saw a clip. I think it was from the commissioner, the head of the NCAA, you know, kind of asking about, you know, those the numbers in a congressional committee hearing. And yeah, like out of tens of thousands of athletes. Yes. I mean, I may not have the exact numbers right. It was like, yeah, 10.
10.
So it's creating this, again, smoke and mirrors, trying to make this big thing when they're really, there's no there. Because now it's deflecting from the fact that, guess what? Inflation is still at an all-time, is still high. The price of eggs is still really high. And now all the tariffs, the reality is that's not going to create jobs. It's going to drive prices up. When auto manufacturers can't get parts to make the cars they need. I mean, it's the we live in a global supply chain. You put tariffs, you spike those tariffs. Guess what? It's going to have an effect on the price of goods. And do you think all these other countries are going to just sit back and say, okay, we'll take it? No, what are they doing? They're pushing back.
Yes. Yes.
It benefits nobody.
But how? So you have the focus, you have all these shiny lights and flashing whatever going on with the LGBTQ community, which is where you're putting everybody's focus. But these people are going to the grocery store, they're going to the gas pumps, they're going to online to buy products. They're noticing the increase in prices. Is all of this noise over here about our community not making them aware of the prices?
It's you know, right?
I don't know. So yes.
I think at some point it's and I think you're starting to see pockets of it now where a lot of people that did vote for Donald Trump. And understandably, you know, I can understand why you have a lot of people that may have been, that may have supported Joe Biden, right, in 2020, that have even said, you know what, I don't like Trump. I don't like what he stands for. But I'm having trouble putting groceries on the table. I can't find work. The Democratic Party is not listening to me. It's, you know, the criticism, I think, you know, of, you know, the Democratic Party of having become too much of the cultural elites and focusing too much on the culture war issues. There's valid criticism in that. So these people said, you know what, he's saying the right things. He's talking about getting the price of things down and not paying attention to what he's really saying.
Yes.
I think you're starting to see, you know, let's call it buyer's remorse. People realizing, wait a minute, this isn't what he promised. So, you know, if our democracy can withstand the next 2 years, hopefully there'll be a turnaround come the midterms as people say, wait a minute, we've got to make a change here.
Something. Well, you know, talking about you like farmers that are now having buyer's remorse and different, you know, veterans having buyer's remorse and different topics like are people. I fell victim to a lot of these viral videos that went out that unfortunately were AI generated. So it's like, even in today, when you see these posts, when you see people talking, you know, farmers speaking out that now they regret their votes, it's like, how do you know what's real and what isn't real? It's scary because some of these reels that I was receiving, I was sending out to other people. I was like, oh, you know, look at this. Oh, look at what this idiot said today. Oh, look at what's going on here, blah, 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 whatever. And it was my son that said to me, oh, Dad, you know, that's not that's a fake video. And I was like, yeah. It's a fake video. What do you mean it's a fake video? Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I go online, look at the comments or whatever like that. It's an AI video. And I was like, oh my God, now we have to worry about that. Not only you worry about Fox News and, you know, what they're reporting, but now we're having to look at all of these reels and dig in to see, okay, is this true? Is this not true? It feels like a lot is being thrown at us. And I read where somebody posted and said, you can't invest your time and energy in all of these because it's just going to wear you out.
Absolutely. You need to
pick your top, I don't know, your top three, your top five, your top 10 or whatever, and follow those and stay on top of those and direct your awareness towards those. Because if you try and chase everything, you're just going to be exhausted. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've written a little bit about that in some of my social media posts, kind of talking about how do we stay, it can be easy to just go down a rabbit hole.
Yes.
Right. Of doom scrolling. I mean, oh my gosh, I've had days, you know, I wake up in the morning and you pick up your phone, you just start getting into this rabbit hole. And I say, wait a minute, you know, that it's about how do you find the balance between saying, I've got to stay informed. I can't just go and hide my head in the sand, but not getting sucked into that abyss.
Yes.
I try and look at a few different sources of news. You know, I'll look at the New York Times. I think a great source for what's really going on is the Wall Street Journal, actually. Okay. They do a great job of just, you know, kind of, and I'm talking about the news part of the Wall Street Journal, not necessarily the opinion side. And then things like AP, which is just, you know, they're reporting the news.
Yes.
And just kind of getting a sense of that. There's a school of thought that says, hey, if you really want to be able to connect with people, you know, from a news standpoint, you've got to look at, I'll call it the opposing side, right? To say, oh, maybe I should look at Fox News. And just because if you want to know what people are thinking and what they're saying, which I try and do that sometimes, but I find it really hard.
I do that too. I want to know what they're hearing. I want to know what they're seeing. I want to know why they're believing what they're believing in. And I'm like, okay, let me go on foxnews.com. But I don't want to spread false information, but didn't Fox News lose something that they're entertainment news now and they're not considered factual?
Sure.
Aren't they considered like a Entertainment Tonight type news broadcast?
Well,
now versus
in my opinion, factual? That's what they've always been.
Okay, but. I thought I read. I'm going to go back and I'll look because I don't want to say that for certainty. But I thought they lost something as far as like what type of news their outlet they are.
Although I'll even say, look, you know, other news sources that have typically been considered, you know, far more, you know, progressive, like an MSNBC or even a CNN. I tend to stay away from those as well because it's too much of an echo chamber, right? You need to, I think the best way to stay connected is just you've to have kind of that understand various sources, talking to people. I mean, look, as we were talking about before, there's certain people that are going to come across with such strong views. It's like, okay, you're not going to find a middle ground with some of these people. And I've realized it's useless to try.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people, again, kind of coming back to why did they vote for Trump? Because they felt left behind and that they weren't being heard. I think the more, you know, to find the common ground to whatever extent you can there. And then the other thing I come back to all the time is right now in today's climate, focus on what's within my control, right? I can't control the policies what executive orders he's going to sign today. It can be heartbreaking when you see a lot of what's going on. And, you know, yeah, it can be really scary. But then I come back to, am I going to curl up in a ball? Or am I going to say, what can I do to support those around me?
Yes.
How can I support and be there? You know, let's bring it back to the LGBTQ community. How can I support others in the community, whether it's, you know, guys like us, if it's LGBTQ youth, if it's a trans, you know, how can I be there again, just as a voice, as an ear? It's the small things we can do that hopefully over time make a difference.
Yes. Now, are you wearing that shirt in public?
You know, I just got it, so I haven't really had a chance to wear it in public. But that's a great question.
Are you worried about wearing a shirt like that in public?
Depending on where I'm going, no. I mean, there probably, if I'm, look, I'm in New York, I would feel comfortable wearing this out. Would I wear it into a work setting? Probably not.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see several videos that have gone viral of people wearing MAGA gear getting kicked out of establishments because they're worried that by them wearing that apparel into their establishment, it's going to create a lot of upset, conflict, potentially, you know, people are going to start fighting with one another. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, there's just so much going on with everything politically that I have two kids. You know, I have one, my older son is a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and
so
I just feel like I need to stay on top of this stuff for him because, you know, I'm 56 years old. A lot of, you know, what I'm doing today, what I'm standing up for today, isn't necessarily, although I do it for myself today, but in reality, I'm doing it to benefit him.
Yeah.
I'm doing it to benefit, you know, his friends, his community, because he, let's face it, people in their 20s and 30s are much more affected by this, I think, than men our ages at this point. I mean, I'm not, you know, in a marriage with another man, so, you know, not worried about my health benefits being taken away, you know, my relationship status revoked. That's not where I'm at, but I do worry about these benefits for my child.
Absolutely and just the overall acceptance. You know, similarly, no, I don't feel directly threatened by it. You know, oh my gosh, right? I mean, Brian, we've spent our whole lives, most of our lives, living one way. Now we're out trying to live as who we are, and doing so in an environment that, for the most part, and I recognize there's pockets and it depends where you live, but that is much more accepting. Do I want to see that rolled back where, I mean, you know, your question, do I feel, I mean, like, look around here, I feel comfortable right now being saying I could go walk out and go to the grocery store, you know, right now in this shirt. And I'd probably have a lot of people cheering me on and saying, great shirt, great shirt. I hope I can continue to do that.
Yeah. Yes.
And not feel like, oh my gosh, I could get beaten up if I'm, I'm wearing this.
That you're targeted because you're wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Oh. All right. What else you got before we end this episode? Let's end it on something positive. I did have a couple letters from listeners. I thought I would. They're from, I didn't read them in prior podcasts, and I thought about getting them out, but I didn't get those out. So what else do you have, Mark? What else do you want to tell us about today?
Wow. Well, I will say it's a beautiful early spring day here in New York. And, you know, the one thing I guess with all the difficulties and everything going on in the world, it can be easy, as I said before, right? You get down that rabbit hole. It could be easy to just crawl up in a ball and be depressed. But then I also recognize I was out to dinner in New York City last night. Beautiful evening, walking around, having a nice dinner. It's like, you know what? I'm still living my life. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'd say to everybody, to listeners, viewers, it's like, don't lose sight of that.
Yes.
Right? Again, kind of come back to be in this moment, even when there's difficult things going on. It's all we've got. And recognize that, hey, there can be joy and a lot of positive, even with a lot of crap going on around us.
Yes, I agree. Yesterday in Southern California, beautiful day, I went golfing with my younger son. He's home for the weekend from the Marines. He and I have not golfed in a while. And he and I were talking about, oh, what are we going to do this weekend? And we were like, okay, let's go golfing. And man, just standing out there on the course, beautiful, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
day, yeah. little breeze, nice sunshine. And I was like, oh my God, these are the days that I live for because yeah. I'm spending them, you yeah. know, with my children, which is, you know, the most important thing I have going on right now. And yeah. I was just like, oh, what an amazing day. And we went to lunch afterwards. And I just thought, I woke up this morning with a huge smile on my face, regardless of what's happening in the world or what's going
exactly.
on, you know, on my phone and everything else. And I was just like, wow, I yeah. just woke up feeling just so mm-hmm. full of
yeah.
joy and happiness, which
yeah.
you still have to hold on to because yes,
exactly.
our focus can definitely take us in a much different yeah. direction.
No day but today.
No day but today. Before we go, anybody that needs a little motivational boost, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but there's a gentleman, his name is Mike Dooley. And he does something called Notes from the Universe.
Oh, and no, I'm not familiar with that.
Log on to TUT.com. You basically put in your name, your birth date, your email address, and every morning, Monday through Friday, you get an inspirational email. And it's addressed to you. And I signed up for this probably like 4 or 5 years ago, but every day, Monday through Friday, they don't do it on the weekend, but you will wake up to a note from the universe addressed to Mark, addressed to Brian. So anybody who's looking for some, just first, that's the very first, I'll open my phone when I get up in the morning and I'm not scrolling through my emails. I'm not looking to see what's going on in social media. I get up, I find my note from the universe. I read that and that carries me through getting myself dressed, brushing my teeth,
yeah.
you know, doing all that, getting my coffee, taking my dog for a walk. And I just sit in that.
Oh, wow. Oh, I got to check that out. No.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
So that's something
for everybody
to,
yeah.
for everybody to, that's looking for some positivity.
All Super.
Right. Well, we're at about 38 minutes. I thank you so much again for joining me today.
Oh, this is awesome. As
All right.
last time as well.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good afternoon. Bye.